Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we have a little bit of a hum. The air conditioning is right above us, but at least we're cool. How about that? Can you guys deal with that for a little bit? Do you hear a hum back there, Charlie, or is it me? Oh, Sam, come here a second, will you? So we had a little bit of a find the tone there. Find it with me. We're about to get that fixed. Hold on. Is it gone? There we go. He just fixed it. I don't hear a hum up here. You're hearing the air conditioning. All right. So I'm not humming anymore, so that's good. So we had a little bit of a kind of a change in direction yesterday. I got a call, and there's some issues with the door over there, and it's busted, so we had no access. And so it's closed off today. So we had to kind of do what I call an audible, or some people call an October surprise. And we're here today in the boardroom, but it's good to at least be able to gather, right? And that's all that matters at the end of the day. If it's outside, well, we'd rather be inside in this weather. But if it's outside, and wherever we are, as long as we're together worshiping the Lord, that's all that matters at the end of the day. Amen? And we had some good time with the Lord in worship. And so now I'm going to ask you to direct your focus now to a time of worship in God's Word, and let's keep that spirit of reverence as we dive in. As you can see on the screen, we're still in the book of Mark. We're going to be looking at chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Go ahead and turn with me to chapter 10, verses 17. We'll start there. We'll go through 31. And really powerful stuff. And you're going to see this morning that everything we have done to the point of coming to the sermon has been geared at this word that I believe God wants you to hear this morning. And the title of this sermon is One Thing. You heard that a few times in the songs today, didn't you? Amazing how that works out. Anyway, all right, have you had coffee this morning? Are you ready to go into God's word? I got one anymore? Okay, good. I don't want to be the only one with energy this morning. I am tired, but I am high on the Lord. Amen? So let's dive into God's word this morning, and let's start at verse 17, read the word, and then we'll pray. Listen to what it says here, speaking of Jesus. It says, as he was out setting out on his journey, a man, it says, ran up and knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not father, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. In other words, Jesus looked at him with love, with compassion, and he said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Verse 23, and Jesus looked around and saw his disciples, and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them, again, children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left his house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for the sake, for my sake and for the gospel. Who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life? But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Weighty passage there, isn't it? Let's pray together. Father, set our hearts this morning on you. And I'll go further, and I would say, Lord, set our hearts not just this morning, but for the rest of our lives on you. I pray that what we hear this morning, Lord God, would really, really challenge us. What we're looking at in this text this morning, Lord God, would really speak to our hearts. We would understand it with our minds. And Lord, we would receive it. As difficult, as hard as this word may be for us to listen to, we must heed what you say. And so I pray this morning, Lord God, may my words be your words. May what's said in this place be exactly what you want to be said, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that this morning you would have your way among us. I pray, Lord, that what we hear this morning is not my words, but we hear from heaven. We hear gospel revelation. So let me be your mouthpiece, Lord. Let me get out of your way. And may you be glorified in all that takes place this morning, all that said, all that results. In Jesus' name, and we all agreed and said, amen. So if we look at the text this morning and we look at the very beginning, what do we see? We see a man ran up to Jesus. He knelt before Jesus, and then he asked Jesus a very, 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 very serious question. You know, we've read about this. I remember reading this in Sunday school years ago. I remember seeing the pictures. Anybody? You know, and you draw the color, you fill in the coloring sheet, you know, and it talks about the young rich ruler, right? The young rich man. We know this one. But if all we had was that first part where it says Jesus set out on his journey and a man came running up to him and knelt at his feet, you know, we would think, what's wrong with this guy? He's coming to Jesus. What's up? What does he need from Jesus? Why is he in such a hurry that we would hear his footsteps as he's running, coming up to the Lord? Is he sick? Is he blind? Is he possessed by a demon? Does he have a family member who's sick? We see this all through the Gospels, don't we? People chasing Jesus down for healing, physical healing. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter. What is it that he needs from Jesus that is so urgent in this moment? But we see in the text, if you read just a little further, he isn't sick. No, he's not sick. He's not in need for himself or for someone else or anything like we've seen in other places in the gospel where people are chasing down for a physical healing. The only problem that he has is this deep concern that's gnawing in his spirit about where he is going to go when he dies. He's so desperate that he kneels before Jesus and he asks him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What have I got to do to have eternal life? What is it? And as we read through this text, you can see as he begins to kind of lay out his life before Jesus, right? It looks like he's lived a good life, right? Jesus then does what I did many years ago. He takes him to Sunday school. He's a religious man who has kept all of the commandments since his youth. He probably did exactly like I did. Read the stories, filled in the coloring sheets, you know, do the things that we did in Sunday school. He's been blessed now with a lot. He's rich. He's got a lot of possessions. But we look at the text and it tells us he's not content. Anybody ever notice that? You can have everything in the world and still not be content. You'll keep looking and looking and looking and wanting and wanting. He knows that all the possessions in the world, this is important, will not keep him from death and what comes after death. So he stops and he runs and chases down Jesus and he stops Jesus on his journey and he's looking for an answer to this question that's gnawing at his soul. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, I hate to say this, but this sounds a lot like what we call today fire insurance, right? Doesn't it? People who are just living their lives out of the motions of a churchgoer. They're doing all the right things. They go to Sunday school, which we don't have that, but that's okay. We have small groups. We go to small groups. We tithe. We listen. We take our notes. We do our thing. But this is the problem. We don't listen to the voice of God in our lives. That's the problem. And this is where this man is. Jesus is speaking directly to him. How, could you imagine if Jesus is speaking directly to you? You ask the question and he gives you the answer. You go, I don't think so. You know? It's Jesus we're talking about, right? You see, this is the issue with so many of us. We are doing these things sometimes, but there's still that awful dread of hell. Right? Of hell. Or rather, of going to hell. If we're just being honest. And sometimes instead of listening to Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up the cross and following him, well, we just try as hard as we can to earn something that Jesus gives freely. How many of you know who Jeff Bezos is? Here's your hand if you know who he is. It's okay, I'll tell you who he is. There's a story that was written about him back in 2021. It's titled, Jeff Bezos is Hoping Piles of Money Can Buy Never-Ending Life. That's right. So Jeff Bezos is the founder of Amazon. Anybody ever buy anything from Amazon? Just raise your hand. I'm just curious. Anybody in here, maybe? Anybody? Get like 40 packages a week, you know? All right, you find everything there? Okay. So he is the founder of Amazon. He is one of the richest men in the world. In fact, he has more money than he can ever spend in this lifetime. Right, that's exactly right. He has everything, in fact, that money can buy. He even has a spaceship, okay? He can go to space if he wants to, sort of, kind of. His net worth, just so you know, is around $227 billion, just in case anybody's counting, okay? Which I think makes him, correct me if I'm wrong, the second richest man in the world? Is that right? Second richest man in the world? Honestly, I don't think he cares. But anyway, right? When you have that much money, you don't care, right? But Jeff Bezos also knows something that we all know, right? What is that? He is eventually going to die. He's going to die. So you know what he did? He started up, he actually had this startup, a very secret startup that he started up in that researches anti-aging. He did this way back in 2021. According to the article, in fact, there are a lot of other rich people, other billionaires who are doing the same thing. They're investing in anti-aging. In fact, I had a conversation, I've talked with Abby about this pretty often because she brings up how her generation, when she goes to school, they're also concerned about aging, right? They're like, I got a wrinkle, oh, you know, and so they're doing whatever they can to deal with that. We can't stop that, right? We just can't stop that. The article says this. It says that the fascination with anti-aging is an interesting one, perhaps because death is one of the few things that money hasn't been able to overcome, at least not yet. You know what I say to that? I think that's just pure foolishness. Foolishness. To think that there's a day coming when we are going to be able to overcome death with money. You guys agree with me? Now, money can buy a lot of things, right? How many of you agree with that? You're like, I wish I had some. So, right? Money can buy a lot of things, but money cannot buy eternal life. Money cannot buy eternal life. Eternal life is that one thing that is outside of the reach of every person, no matter how much money they have. That's it. If Jeff Bezos, with his $227 billion cannot buy it, then the reality is that no one can, right? So death is really, guys, it is really the great equalizer, isn't it? It's the great equalizer. We're all the same. We're all mortal. None of us are going to live forever. Not without Jesus. And so everyone should be able to relate to this rich young man. He has a lot of possessions, but none of it will lead to nor buy eternal life, period. You know, and when I look at this biblical account, which, as I shared with you, I've seen all my life. Today, well, not today, but just as I was preparing for the sermon, it took on a very different meaning for me. A different look, because, you know, we look at it as Jesus is having an interaction with this man, and the man walks away. And we see in so many other parts of the Gospels where people come up to Jesus and they're looking for something from him and they walk away thankful. And in this instance, he walks away sorrowful, disheartened. And I now see this as more than just what we look at it here. It's in a healing account. It's a healing account. Think about it. All those other stories we see where people are, or not stories, but biblical accounts where we see people running up to Jesus, trying to touch his garment or come in, will you heal me? Teacher, rabbi. And they want some sort of physical healing. But this man runs up to Jesus, he kneels before him, and instead he's asking him a serious question. And he is in need of an answer. An answer. He wants an answer. But this time, instead of a physical healing, or healing for someone else, this time is different. Or is it? Maybe this man needs to be healed too. What do you think? Healed? You see, he needs to be healed of... Everybody do this with me. He needs to be healed of his tight grip. He needs to be healed of his tight grip of all of his possessions. You see, Jesus sees right through him. He sees right through him. He sees him make this one request, and Jesus tells him exactly what he needs to hear. He looks at him, and he looks at him with love. That's critical. With love, with compassion. And he says to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. And in verse 22, it says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You still with me? He had great possessions. You see, the one thing that he needed to be able to follow Jesus, to be assured of eternal life, of inheriting it, the one thing that he needed he couldn't bring himself to do, to sell his many possessions. His possessions, though, his possessions, they weren't the problem. They weren't the problem. It was his heart. Rather, it was his heart's desire. It was his heart's desire. This rich young man had a tight grip on all of his possessions, and he just couldn't let them go. How many of you heard the tale of how to catch a monkey? Anybody? I know you do, right? In your case, it would actually be how to fight a monkey, right? Story for another time. I'll find a way to weave that into a sermon illustration one day. So we'll talk about that later. But anyway, how to catch a monkey. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Now, that's something that I have personally never done because there's no monkey. Well, there is actually. There's a monkey around here. We saw it the other day while we were at Coastal Hayes, as a matter of fact. But this strikes me as a very interesting, kind of neat way to catch a monkey. So you start with a jar. Everybody heard this, right? Do we have a picture? You start with a jar, right? And what you do is you put something in the jar that the monkey wants, right? Maybe a piece of fruit or I don't know, whatever a monkey wants, right? Something shiny. You know how they're always an iPhone? They're always stealing phones from people on these memes that you see everywhere, all right? And you put it in there, and the monkey, you put it where he can find it, right? And what you do is you wait till he finds it, and he sees it, and he sticks his hand in the jar, and he grabs that thing, and guess what? When he's got it in his fist, which now there's something in his fist making his hand bigger, he tries to pull out, and guess what happens? He can't get his hand out. In fact, he will be so stubborn to keep his hand in there and try to get whatever that treasure is inside of that jar that he'll even risk being captured. And he probably will be as a result of that because he's got his hand closed so tightly around that thing. And you see, that young rich ruler is just like that monkey. That's right. He's just like that monkey right there. He can't let go of his many possessions. He has been given this opportunity of a lifetime by Jesus Christ himself, the chance to become a follower of Jesus, to be assured of eternal life. And it's exactly what he wants. It's exactly what he wants. It's what he's asking Jesus for. What is it that I have to do to inherit eternal life? And you know, the sad thing is, Jesus is talking to him, and he wants Jesus' offer. He wants it so bad. He asked Jesus, how do I get it? How do I get eternal life? And Jesus tells him exactly how to do it. Exactly. Here's the problem. Only, it's just not what he wants to hear. It's not what he wants to hear. You know, isn't that how it is with us? Come on, let's be honest, right? Oh, it's quiet in here. We ask God. He tells us the truth with love and compassion. We know that. And often, it's the truth that we don't want to hear. That's it. It's the same thing with that young rich ruler. He doesn't want to open his hand and let go. He's like, ooh, you want me to do what? Sell my possessions and give it to the poor? Then I'll have treasure in heaven, but I got it now. You can't do that. Just stop and think about this. He ran up to Jesus, knelt at his feet, good teacher. And he asked the question, and Jesus tells him exactly what he must do. He has been given an awesome gift, clarity. Clarity. Jesus tells him exactly what to do with his life. Are you hearing me this morning? You know, how many times have we wanted the same thing? How many times have we wanted the same thing? To be told exactly in great detail what Jesus wants you or me to do. How many? Right? You're like, Jesus, just tell me. You know? And he does. Where? Right here. You hear me joke about it all the time. People, oh, God, tell me what it says. I'm slapping you in the head with the Bible. It's right here. Read it. He tells you exactly what he wants you to do. It's clear. We have all these great biblical accounts. And we want to stand here in a juxtaposition going, right? Jesus tells him exactly what he needs to hear. We do the same thing, man. We look for signs. We pray for direction. We wonder what we're supposed to do. So many times, man, we would just love Jesus to be able just to simply come, sit next to us, have a cup of coffee with us, and tell us in specific detail, give me a blueprint, Jesus, of exactly what we're supposed to do. It's right here. And in this case, the rich young man is told exactly what to do. Yippee. But there's a problem. Like so many of us, it's not what he wants to hear. Go sell your possessions. Give your money. Give everything to the poor and follow me. Now he knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. To become a follower of Jesus, to inherit eternal life, but he doesn't want, everybody do this with me, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to sell his possessions. He's got so much. How can he do that? How can he let go of all that he has? He's shocked, and so he turns. And the scripture tells us he walks away grieving, sorrowful, disheartened. You know, Jesus really, in a sense, he gets to the heart of the matter, doesn't he? He gets right to the heart of matter. He's addressing the one thing that this man holds higher than he holds God. He's addressing the one thing, the idol of this man's life, that he worships more than he worships God. You know, as I said, we've probably all heard this biblical account told in Sunday school or preached before, or we've read it on our own as we've read through the Gospels. The question we might have wondered when reading this account is, am I supposed to do the same thing? Am I supposed to do the same thing? Is this what Jesus wants of me? Is this what he wants of me in order to become a follower of Jesus? Does he want me to do this? And you know, the answer, I believe, is no. No. Just think about it. Not for most of us. Probably not for maybe any of us. Very few people are called to do that. Not even the disciples were called to do that. Think of Peter. Peter still had a house when he started following Jesus. He still had a boat, right? We know that because we look after Jesus died, right, and was raised back to life. They're out fishing, right? He's like, well, let's go fishing, guys, you know? Remember that? They meet Jesus over there at the Sea of Tiberias. Remember that? Okay. He didn't sell everything. He didn't give his money to the poor. Not even all the disciples were asked to give everything that they had away. And surely that means that we're not called to do the same thing, right? But I want you to think about this again. Think about that monkey and think about the jar, okay? We all have something that could be put in the jar. We all have something that is already in the jar that we're holding on to so tightly that we're not letting go of, and so we're caught. We're trapped. It's something that we struggle to let go of. We all have something that is keeping us from giving ourselves over to fully, faithfully follow Jesus, from completely trusting in him. Jesus looked at that young, rich man with love, and he said to him, "You lack one thing." And so if Jesus were to look at you today and ask you, or say the same thing with love, what would be the one thing that you lack? What would be the one thing that you lack? What is that one thing? The one thing that, everybody, come on, do it with me, that you're holding on to so tightly. What is it? What is in your jar? What are you holding on to? When you're tempted to keep hold of so tightly and to cling to so hard that you might not let go of it, so that you would be able to faithfully follow Jesus, to deny yourself, take up your cross. What is it? And you know, when I read this text this morning and we're here in this room together looking at it together, that to me is what Jesus is doing this morning. He's inviting us to think about that today. What is the one thing in your life that prevents you from faithfully following Jesus, from faithfully trusting him in all circumstances? It may have nothing to do with any possessions that you may own. It may be something entirely different for you. Something that's keeping you from being all that Jesus wants you to be in him. Keeping you from denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following after him. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. It's not something, listen, that you have to do. It's not something that you have to add to your busy life. Amen. That's good, isn't it? You just have to. Everybody do this with me. You just have to let go. You just have to let go. Let go of your hold on it and take hold of Jesus. That young rich man with all his possessions couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He went away disheartened, sorrowful, grieving, And when he walks away, Jesus looks at his disciples who are there with him, and he says, children, verses 24 and 25, he says, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The camel, by the way, was the biggest animal that they could think of in that time, that era, okay? Going through the smallest thing that they could think of, the eye of a needle. It's impossible, right? Look, there it is. Look at that. Not to scale, okay? You're like, yeah, I think he could do that. Maybe get his head stuck. No, that's not to scale, okay? But look at what it says in Mark 10, verse 26. It says, disciples, they were exceedingly astonished, and they said to him, then who? Who can be saved? And my friends, that's the right question. Because when we ask that question, we realize our need for a Savior. We realize our need for Jesus. We realize that we can't do it on our own. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We need Jesus. Jesus is the way. And so Jesus looks at them. He says, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God, because he knew he was going to be hanging on a cross for them. He was going to pay the ultimate price. He was going to buy for them with his blood what they needed. The free gift of salvation. And all they have to do is let go and receive it. So the question is, who can be saved? Well, here's the answer. Without Jesus, no one. With Jesus, everyone. The kingdom of God can't be bought. No matter how much money you have, but the kingdom of God can be entered. Amen? It can be entered by who? By everyone. By everyone. You see, you've got to let go of what you're holding on to. And you need to take Jesus' hand and let him lead you. Follow him. You've got to take the hand of Jesus and be led into the kingdom of God. And you know what? That is what Jesus wants for all of us. That is why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus rose. That's why now he sits at the right hand of God. You see, he came because we hold on so tightly. We hold on so tightly. We desire that one thing, whatever it might be, more than we would desire God. And how do I know that? Because Jesus gave us the greatest command, the one thing that we should desire more than anything else. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? All your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Everything. Everything. Here's the bottom line. This is a healing story, and Jesus wants to heal us. Jesus wants to save us. And simply all we must do is let go. He wants to heal us and save us from sin, from death, from evil, from temptation, from whatever it might be that is keeping us from fully opening our hearts to fully following him and loving him. What must we do to inherit eternal life? My friends, this morning it's as simple as letting go of whatever it is you're holding on to that you hold over and against God, over and above him. And what you need to do is let go and take the hand of the Savior Jesus Christ, follow him. And you know, this is the beautiful thing. It's an invitation that Jesus makes to us all. All. And he does it with love and compassion. Gotta let go. We're gonna close, and as we do, we're gonna pray. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to be honest. Can we do that? Can we be honest? What is the one thing that is keeping you from faithfully following Jesus? What is the one thing that you lack? What is your one thing? And as you pray, this is what I want you to do this morning. Look, I want you to open your hands and let go of whatever it is. And as you open your hands, receive what Jesus wants to give you. See, the difference is a trade-off. You're not letting go of something, you're receiving something. And this morning, will you do that? Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, and we ask you to examine our hearts and through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord God, point out in us the thing, that one thing, Lord God, that we hold on so tightly to that prevents us from faithfully following you. That one thing, Lord God, that we just need to let go of so that we might receive the free gift that you give us that's found in Jesus Christ. Salvation, eternal life, freedom through the Spirit, your nature, your character, who you are, joy, everlasting joy. See, the tighter we hold on to that thing, Lord God, the less that we can enjoy you and all that you want to give us. So this morning, Lord, may we open our hands and let go and receive. May we come to you with an honest heart. Let go. Let go. Let's set our hearts, set our minds on you. Our desire. So that we might experience not only eternal life, but you, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness, your redemption, your transformation, all that is good. May we do that now, Lord. Let go and follow you. I pray that now in Jesus' name, and we all agreed and said, amen and amen.